mercy and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 18. I read for you again these words. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Have you ever heard of or known anyone that sounds like the Pharisee in today's gospel? You know, look how good I am. Or, look how bad that other guy is. That kind of stuff. It's the stuff of political campaigns and sports at all levels. Yet, before we get off track, we need to realize that we are just like them. For we too are often like those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. That's why we need to listen to Jesus. For in his parable, Jesus reveals the reality and the depth of sin which infects us all, if only we would realize it. Consider the Pharisee and his self-righteous prayer. Now, he certainly was not short on self-esteem. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. What a guy! He fasts twice a week, not only once. He gives tithes, that is 10% of all he gets. He's a pastor's dream. And of course, he's not like those other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. But this is where he is a liar. He has deceived himself. He's made himself to be a god, and so trusts in himself. He boasts in the works of the law and compares himself to others. And of course, he thinks he comes out looking pretty good. He thinks he actually has some reason that God should accept him. But he is exactly like other men, for he too is a sinner. He too stands under God's righteous judgment. So, while he came to the temple to pray, he doesn't really pray. He boasts to God and to all the others who can hear him. For him, it really was all about me. He's the epitome of self-righteousness. But this is not God's righteousness or God's justification. Now, we do have to be careful here because it's all too easy to fall into the same trap, the same sin. After all, when you hear about this Pharisee, aren't you tempted to say, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men, arrogant, conceited, braggarts, or even as this Pharisee. Or perhaps we simply compare ourselves to others in an effort to justify ourselves, to show how good we are. We complain that parents don't control their children and keep them in line like we did. We come to church almost every week and complain about those who aren't here. In some way or other, we compare ourselves with other people all the time. And we think that we are better than they are. And that is the basis for our standing before God. But the reality is that we are all alike. Every one of us. We are all sinners. Each one deserving God's judgment. We all sin daily in thought, word, and deed. So to compare ourselves with others is to use a rather low standard. After all, Jesus says, "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." But we have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment or filthy rags. So in the end, we have nothing of which to boast before the holy God. And while we shouldn't compare ourselves to the Pharisee, we shouldn't compare ourselves to the tax collector either. Though we can certainly learn something from him. For he shows us what true saving faith is all about, as well as prayer that is acceptable to God. You see, that tax collector knew he was a sinner. He's every bit the sinner the Pharisee makes him out to be. God knows it. Other people know it. And what's more important, he knows it. He knows he has nothing to offer to God. He has no good works of which to boast. Though he has come into God's house, he doesn't draw near, but stands far off. He won't or can't even lift his eyes to heaven. Instead, with head bowed, he beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's the prayer of a God-given faith. And yet that prayer is more than simply asking God for mercy, as we usually think of it. It's more than asking God to take it easy on us and not give us the punishment we so richly deserve. For you see, that word that gets translated as merciful is not the same word that we are familiar with as when we sing, "Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy." Instead, Jesus puts into this man's mouth a bloody word. "God, be gracious to me, forgive me on account of the sacrifice." He's not appealing for mercy on the basis of anything in him or even on the basis of God's attributes. That is, that he is merciful and loving and so on. He appealed for mercy, forgiveness, on the basis of a death, a bloody substitute for his own forfeited life. And Jesus, of course, is the answer to the tax collector's prayer, even as he is the answer to our prayer. Jesus is God's mercy in flesh and blood. And he is the exact opposite of pride. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Yes, the very Son of God took on human flesh and blood to be like us. Though perfectly holy in every way, without any sin of his own, he didn't thank God that he was different or better than anyone else. He never compared himself to anyone else. He never despised anyone else or treated them with contempt. Instead, he fasted for them, as he did in the wilderness immediately after his baptism. He often engaged in fasting and prayer, going off by himself, never making a show of it. He gave more than a tithe, more than 10%, as he took the sins of the world upon himself and made them his own. He became the sinner of sinners, suffering contempt from sinners. As the Lamb of God, he offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin as he shed his blood and died on the cross. Thus, he gave his all so that by his death and resurrection, we could have peace with God. By his blood, he has appeased God's wrath over our sin. With the forgiveness of sins, we are justified before God. My dear friends, to be saved, to be justified before God and by God, one must be a sinner. A terrible, rotten sinner, a poor, miserable sinner, a sinner who has no good works in which to trust or boast, a sinner with nothing to offer God but our sins. And thus, this tax collector went down to his house having been justified, not because of his repentance, his contrition, his prayer, his anything. He went down to his house justified because of God's work, because God showed him mercy beyond imagination, and God would answer his prayer by shedding blood of his own dear son just for this tax collector. And likewise, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Now that's not because children, infants, are holy and innocent. But in their simplicity, humility, and utter inability to come to Jesus, their helplessness, they have nothing to offer to God, just as the tax collector had nothing to offer to God. They must, and quite often do, simply receive God's gifts in Christ. Faith, forgiveness, life, salvation, all as a gift from God based on Jesus' atoning death. And so it is that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Indeed, Christ humbled himself even to death on the cross, and he has been exalted as he was raised from the dead, and is now ascended to the right hand of his Father. He has been given the name that is above every name. Christ alone is worthy of all exaltation. And because he has done all of this for you, you humble yourself, confess your sins, live by him and his bloody mercy. And as you live in that forgiveness of sins earned for you by Christ's holy death, you one day will be exalted as well. St. Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We have nothing in ourselves of which to boast, or any reason to treat anyone with contempt. So, if you must boast, boast in the Lord. Boast in what he has done for you. Boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Yes, indeed, boast in the Lord, for he has exalted you through the death and resurrection of his Son, through your baptism into him, and through the forgiveness of sins he gives in the absolution and the Holy Supper. To him be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.